The actions of the Ecuadorian government caused a diplomatic uproar recently when, in early April, they forced their way into the Mexican embassy in the Ecuadorian capital to arrest their former vice president, Jorge Glass. He'd been granted asylum in the embassy after being charged with corruption. Now, Mexico has filed a case against Ecuador in the International Court of Justice, accusing it of violating a diplomatic mission. Now, Ecuador has now filed a counterclaim with the ICJ, and they say Mexico's conduct in granting asylum to Glass is an unlawful intervention in Ecuadorian sovereignty. Now, some independent observers are arguing that the diplomatic asylum is being misused by politicians to avoid charges of corruption. And still others say corruption charges are being used to persecute political opponents. Now, to help us untangle this web, we've brought in a very distinguished expert in Eduardo Borges, and he's the exec director of Transparency International Mexico. It's a global movement working to end the injustice of corruption, and Eduardo joins us from Mexico City. Welcome to our little wireless program. Before we get into the ICJ cases, would you be kind enough to tell me about the ex-vice president? What was he charged with exactly?
Well, thank you very much for the invitation, Philip. It's really an honor to be part of your show. As the press has been discussing for a while now, former Vice President Jorge Glass from Ecuador was charged, prosecuted, and even sentenced in terms of corruption. There were many different cases that were put all together in one major corruption case. And up to our knowledge and the public knowledge, both in Ecuador and in Mexico, the former vice president actually covered his sentence, was sentenced by a court, and he went to jail for a while. He was released, and that was a moment in which he decided to call for asylum, political asylum, in the Mexican embassy in Quito. So, you know, up to public knowledge, he was already covered the sentence of the court in Ecuador, and he was free to go anywhere, including naturally my country, Mexico.
Eduardo, why did the Mexicans grant him asylum?
Well, Mexico has a very long-standing tradition, Philip, of political asylum, going back to cases like the one of Fidel Castro many years ago, and very recently, former President Evo Morales from Bolivia, who was also granted political asylum in Mexico after, you know, a lot of political pressure back in his country. And even former President Castillo, Pedro Castillo from Peru, a couple of months ago, tried to reach the Mexican embassy for political asylum. He didn't get to the embassy. There was a blockade from the local authorities in Lima, but his family is right now living in Mexico City. So this is a very long-standing tradition for our country.
But, okay, now Glass, of course, claims on social media that he's being punished for voicing his opinions. And do you think Eduardo genuinely believes Glass is being thus persecuted, or is he just assisting those on his side of politics?
Well, I would say that in the three cases, the case of Evo Morales, the case of Jorge Glass from Ecuador, and even the case of Pedro Castillo, we're talking about a very entrenched political situation in their countries. And they decided to ask for political asylum, not because they felt safe or secure in their own countries, but because they wanted to exercise the benefits of being living in a different country under the political protection and diplomatic protection of the Mexican government. I will say that it's very hard to say that these are, let me put it very bluntly, innocent people traveling to Mexico. They are part of the political machinery of their countries. They are they have exercised power in different ways. They are in competing political parties from the ones that are now ruling their countries. And it's very hard to simply say these are the target of a political campaign. In all the cases, there is controversy. Even our colleagues and chapters from Transparency International in those countries are very, very carefully treating these issues, because normally there is obviously political abuse and political use of these cases, but there is also a lot of possibilities that they were also taking part of a corrupt scheme. So it's not a very simple, clear situation in these are oppressed defendants of the earth or social leaders. No, these are part of the political system in their countries. They were exercising power, and now they are facing an opposite government or leadership fighting them. No? So it's not that simple to distinguish if they are really very clear and transparent and honest as politicians, Philip.
Eduardo, back in 2012, I visited my friend Julian Assange in the Ecuadorian embassy in London. Can you briefly take me through the legal framework that sees such a history of granting asylum in Latin America?
Well, as I was mentioning early in your show, This is a very long-standing tradition for countries like Mexico. Mexico, despite having a very strong hegemonic political party back in the 70s and 80s, it wasn't classified or seen as a dictatorship. No, it was seen as an hegemonic party political regime. That, in practical terms, this means that in Latin America, Mexico was not ruled by the army, or it wasn't ruled by a dictatorship, like in the case of Argentina, Chile, or Brazil. And in the 70s, and even before that, in the 60s, with the case of Fidel Castro, Mexico was very open to political groups from Latin America, some of them accused of terrorism, some of them accused of being part of opposition parties that were operating in an undercover position. So this is a very long-standing tradition because of the political culture that was in place in Latin America in the 70s and 80s. No?
But sometimes it gets quite bizarre. The Mexican president, Obrador, granted diplomatic asylum to the Peruvian president's wife. Why?
Actually, the president, former president Pedro Castillo, was trying to reach the embassy, the Mexican embassy in Lima, when he was detained by local authorities. So the diplomatic moment allowed him to take his family, including his wife, to Mexico, to granting diplomatic protection and political asylum from Mexican authorities. And President Castillo was looking for that. So again, it comes to a very long-standing diplomatic tradition in Mexico. Now, is there the possibility of abusing that political asylum scheme and that tradition? Obviously there is. These are, as I was mentioning before, these are very powerful politicians. They represent social movements, political parties, and they have exercised power, not always in a decent, honorable way, but it's part of a very long-standing tradition, and I'm pretty sure that that's the reason why they are choosing Mexico. Like your friend Assange decided to use the benefit of this very important international law tool for getting asylum in the Ecuador embassy in London. So it's part of a very important tradition for escaping authoritarian regimes, but it could be also, as you are suggesting, abused by some political parties and groups right now.
Now, Mexico's opposition leader thinks that the granting of asylum to Paredes can't be justified.
Well, we are in a presidential election right now, Philip, in Mexico, and every single political mistake from the president is going to be used by the opposition. At the end, no, the public opinion was very clear that we were not defending as a country the reputation or the honesty of former Vice President Glass, but we were simply using the international law tools to someone that was asking for political asylum and was in the process of getting it. The Mexico's government position is not that he's free of any kind of accusation or that his integrity is above anything else in Ecuador. The position of the Mexican government is that we were playing by the conventions of the UN and other international conventions covering political asylum. We are not claiming as a country in terms of public opinion, neither the government is saying that he's not responsible of any kind of illegal activity in Ecuador. The main claim of the Mexican government is that the Mexico's embassy is protected by international law, and that if they wanted to block the exit of former Vice President Glass, they could simply say, well, I'm not going to give any free pass to go to the airport, and there are diplomatic ways of dealing with these kind of cases. No, the decision of attacking the Mexican embassy is what complicated issues. And as you were stating in your opening remarks, this is the kind of things that are being partner of the international court systems, because we are discussing if a country can simply enter an embassy, no, using military and political force, to even if there is a corruption case that has to be prosecuted.
Now, how does the use of diplomatic asylum impact on your organization's efforts to address corruption?
That's a very, very good and tricky question for Transparency International and for us, because you can imagine that certain politicians in not only Latin America, globally, are considering the use of political asylum as a way of avoiding justice in their own countries or securing impunity for their activities or their illegal activities. So it becomes a very tricky and complicated issue, because you, on one side, we have to preserve international law and the rule of law as a main characteristic of our movement, as we are promoting and defending openly rule of law all over the world. But at the same time, we know that it could be abused by crooked politicians, by crooked business people that are trying to avoid the justice. So it becomes a tricky situation for us, because, you know, we have to be very clear that we are, as a movement, protecting the supremacy of law, including international law and all the agreements that are taking part of these multilateral schemes. But at the same time, we have to be very clear that this shouldn't be abused. Let me give you a parallel example, this is something that we are also finding in countries like Spain, for instance, or Cyprus, no? The golden visas, no? There are visas that are basically paid with very heavy investments from crooked politicians or crooked business people that are going to these countries. In the case of Mexico, for instance, there is a lot of discussion about a former president, Enrique Peña Nieto, who has not been charged of corruption or is not being prosecuted, but it has a terrible reputation in our country, that has used these schemes, the golden visa schemes to live very comfortably in Madrid in Spain. So it's always complicated to say we are in favor of international rule of law, we are in favor of international agreements, but also we know that people can find loopholes and avenues to abuse these international tools for their own benefits, Philip.
Eduardo, before I let you go, could you update me on where the prosecutions are for the politicians who were identified in the case of the Panama Papers?
Well, that's a very good example of how we had a major public discussion about these cases. We were, in Latin America, we spent a lot of time discussing how many people were involved, former presidents, former ministers. Even in the case of Colombia, we found that there was a tax authority that was putting their investments in Panama through the Panama Papers. But at the end, the issue here is that only the case of Iceland, only the case of the UK came with very concrete political repercussions. As you can remember, some of these politicians and even head of states were leaving their positions, resigning to their positions. But in the case of Latin America, because they didn't took the money back to the country of origin, these investments are still investments. So you cannot charge them of money laundering, or you cannot charge them of tax evasion. So it's quite an interesting situation as well, because you have a lot of public exposure. You even have documentaries or even movies, no, like The Laundromat, that are exposing this kind of tools. But in practical terms, because they are not putting the money back in their own countries, there is no crime to be prosecuted. And there is a sense of impunity in most of the region associated with the disclosure of the Panama Papers, or even more, the second and third round of journalistic work on these issues, including the Paradise Papers, which are the last ones. So there is a sense of impunity all over these major cases.
I'm glad you and your organization are on the case, Eduardo. Thank you very much for coming on. My guest has been Eduardo Borges, Executive Director of Transparencia Mexicana, the Mexican chapter of Transparency International. Thanks, Eduardo.
My pleasure, Philip. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.